Welcome to the PA Podcast. Tonight's segment, Sports Corner, is coming up next. Welcome to Sports Corner. You can hit us up at Skype at papodcast.com, iTunes, yeah, we're on there, PA Podcast, email papodcast@pokeholicsanonymous.com. Sports Corner is part of the PA Podcast Network. Welcome to the show tonight. A lot of fun going on. We've got some special guests. Also, a lot of football going on. I'm sure you probably can't escape it either. The bowl games are crazy. I can't remember in the past so many horrible teams being invited to a bowl game. A lot of 6-7s, a lot of teams that were just horrible got to play in a bowl game this year. You can give us a call, PA Podcast on .com on Skype. Let us know what you think. Also, when I'm watching these bowl games, I look out there and I'm listening to the game and I notice, and I'm sure you've heard this, a lady doing the play-by-play in a football game. What do you think of that? I don't buy it. I mean, it just sounds crazy to me. It doesn't sound right. I can kind of understand it for basketball a little bit, but no, not for a football game. You've got an opinion on that, Skype at papodcast.com. Why should women be calling football games? I don't know. That's an excellent question to me. It's time to bring in our first guest. He's a founding member of one of the hottest groups on Facebook, Pokeholics Anonymous. Everybody likes to poke. I'm sure you're aware of that. He's an advocate of the Blind Nun Bowling League, and he enjoys cheap vodka and long walks on San Diego beaches. Or maybe that just means he enjoys San Diego beaches. We'll have to ask him. Welcome to the show, Father Brian.
Oh, bless you, my child, and thank you for having me tonight.
Absolutely. How are you, man?
I'm doing great.
Do you have an opinion about the whole women doing the play-by-play for football games?
Well, I understand that there has been a woman that's done some Boise State games. I haven't heard too much of it myself, but I'm willing to give it a shot. I'll tell you what. You take Buck and McCarver in baseball, I'd take just about any woman over those two. But I don't know. Maybe we can let the fans decide.
Her name is Heather Cox, and I can't make this up. It just writes itself. So, yeah, you might want to check that out. She's
okay
doing some football games. So tonight
I will look up Sister Cox. Sorry to interrupt.
She's not really too bad on the eyes, but I just can't understand when she's going around the corner, around the, you know, pass over the middle. It nails it. You know, I just can't handle it. So I think she should stick to basketball or something else. But we'll find out.
I'll give it a listen.
Okay. Tonight we're going to talk about the top sports stories of 2011. What do you think of that?
Great topic.
It was a crazy year in sports. A lot of stuff, a lot of crazy stuff happening. We'll start off with number 10. And this is according to, you know, we basically are using the AP poll. So it was writers that came up with these. And we'll throw in a few also, but don't blame us for number 10, which was the Women's World Cup. When their country was devastated by the tsunami and the earthquake, the Japan soccer players vowed they would inspire their homeland. They beat the United States and they won the World Cup, and that's the number 10 story. And to me, all soccer is women's soccer. What do you think?
Oh, I would agree. I mean, soccer is the sissy sport of the world. I mean, you got football, you got baseball, you got basketball, you got hockey, you got MMA, you got boxing, and then soccer. Yet,
and this.
Most of the world, I mean, see, soccer is, you know, it's the most beloved sport. I don't know. I can understand it with France. I don't know what the hell, you know, is with the rest of the world. But I will say that this is probably the second greatest thing that has ever happened to women's soccer. I mean, there was devastation. And for that team to beat the Americans and take the cup in their time of need, it's the second greatest women's soccer thing to Brandi Chastain, you know, tearing off her shirt after the United States win.
And I do remember that. That was fantastic. I kind of liked soccer back then. One thing is, though, is why are these people so damn violent?
I don't know.
Or they lose and they kill each other and there's violence and all this crap. What is going on with the soccer crowd?
In the middle of games that are nil-nil, like just about every soccer game, I mean, they're throwing urine bombs at each other, like ziplocking bags of urine and tossing it from the upper deck onto the lower deck, and they're probably hitting their own damn fans.
It's like, leave me alone. I want to eat a freaking corn dog and watch these idiots run up and down this huge field and kick a round ball.
Yeah, well,
sounds,
you know,
great. All right, let's go to number 9.
Okay, let's move on.
Let's move. That had entirely too much time. Number 9. let's not spend a lot of time on this either. The Syracuse scandal. Less than 2 weeks after the whole Sandusky thing, ESPN starts rolling out the reports that two former Syracuse ball boys accused longtime men's basketball coach Bernie Fine of inappropriately recruiting, is what we'll say.
Or Father Brian would rather just not comment on this subject at all. It hits a little close to home.
Okay, yeah. Let's move on to something even more uplifting then. Number 8, two-time Indianapolis 500 winner Dan Weldon gets killed October 16th in a 15-car crash. Boy, that you know, I don't know. That's another dangerous sport. Are you a fan of the whole racing thing, Father Brian?
Well, I'm not a big fan, but you do have to have respect for people that fly around those tracks at those speeds. Bam. And Father Brian does do some consultation with several rednecks. And I'll tell you, a lot of them agree with driver Oriel Saveria. I mean, this is a quote from him right after the race. "We all had a bad feeling about this place in particular just because of the high banking and how easy it was to go flat. And if you give us the opportunity, we're drivers and we're going to go to the front. We race each other hard because that is what we do. We knew it could happen, but it's just really sad." Basically, it was a dangerous track. It was a neck car track. You know, it was made for, you know, NASCAR, not for Indy cars. I mean, Indy cars are just too fast for that track and they knew it. And you know what? The people that put it together probably are, you know, liable for this death. There was a lot of racers. There were racers that stayed out of this race because it's just too dangerous of a track.
Well,
I mean,
he was looking for sponsorship, you know, and there was a $5 billion incentive in Vegas and all this other stuff made them kind of throw the danger out the window, per se.
These guys have no fear. They have no fear. I mean, especially when you're looking for a sponsorship.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you're going to push it. And I think that the promoters of the race are basically guilty of putting cars on a track that couldn't handle the speeds that they, you know, are able to produce.
Well, you know, you start talking about entertainment versus safety, and we could open up a whole can on that one. So let's move on to number 7, actually. And this is a little bit more uplifting. Nobody died except for, you know, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh in this thing. And that was when the Mavericks won the championship and beat the Heat. And Dirk Nowitzki got his revenge, and they beat Miami. That was actually, I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed it immensely. I mean, when you're a self-proclaimed dream team,
right?
I just love the fact that you got smacked. And Dirk Nowitzki, white boy over 7 feet that can shoot the three-pointer with any point guard in the league.
Oh, yeah, he's tough.
I mean, and you know what? You got to love Mark Cuban, too. I mean, yeah, he's kind of a jackhole, but you know that man wants to win, and he's going to do whatever it takes to win. So as a Laker fan, I got to give a couple thumbs up to the Dallas Mavericks.
Sure.
On that.
No, they had a good run. And after the championship, they celebrated. Who do you think the lucky lady was that got to smoke Cuban?
I'm sure there was more than one.
Oh, I'm sure. At number 6, Ohio State. Oh, are they ever going to get their acts together? I mean, they beat Arkansas last year in the Sugar Bowl, and 5 of their players were allowed to play, even though they were suspended for the first 5 games of this season. And now, it gets even worse when Tressel, he didn't talk about some of the things that he had done in the past and didn't admit. So he had to leave after they went 6-6. But lo and behold, what do? They brought in Urban Meyer. So they're going to be tough again. What do you think of that?
Oh, I think that with Urban Meyer, I'd give him about 2 more years before they have other sanctions brought against him. But what really upsets me most is, geez, there was one player on USC, Reggie Bush. Yeah, so they bought his parents a house. That's one player. Did the coach even know? I don't know, but it was proven beyond a reasonable doubt that Jim Tressel knew about several violations and lied to the NCAA on it.
Right.
And why is it that the back east teams get a little half slap on the wrist where teams out west get hammered? That's ridiculous.
I mean, they were upset because everybody knows that Reggie Bush nailed Kardashian. And they're like, okay, well then you, okay, we can't help you anymore. We're sorry.
That's a good point.
Up at number 5. Are you a big baseball fan?
I love the I love baseball. I mean, America's pastime.
And Tony La Russa, what a manager, huh?
Pretty amazing. You know, World Series, several world, you know, more multiple World Series with two teams.
Exactly.
That's hard to, you know, hard to beat. He's
of course, we're
man.
Talking about the Cardinals. The Cardinals winning this year after they had trailed the wild card race by 10.5 games late into August and rallied back to get the playoff berth on the final day of the season. That was dramatic.
That was almost amazing as the Denver Broncos losing 3 games in a row to wrap up the AFC West
and still winning the division.
Yeah, exactly.
Backing in. Yeah. So the Cardinals, you know, that's one of those teams that you don't really hate, and they had Pujols at the time. They were not going to have him anymore.
Mm. Oh no, he made his way out my way to California. So
yeah, big contract on that one too.
You think he'll be okay for the rest of his life?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I don't think he's gonna be running through his money like Mike Tyson.
No.
They were also down to the final strike twice. To their final strike. If it's three, you're out.
Yes.
And came through. I mean, that was really one of the most amazing World Series me in person has ever seen. You got to give it to the Cardinals. And you know what? Cardinal fans are great baseball fans. I mean, it's a great baseball place. So I give a thumbs up. I'm not a Cardinals fan myself, but I got to give them a thumbs up for that.
Absolutely. Make sure you can check us out on iTunes at papodcast.com, Skype at papodcast.com, email us at papodcast@pocaholicsanonymous.com. Sports Corner is part of the PA Podcast Network, and we're at number 5, BK. All right, number 4, actually, the conference realignment. Now, that's something that's kind of close to home to you, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I live here in San Diego, if you don't know, and I'd like to just give a big thumbs up to San Diego State for joining the Big East.
The
Big
East.
Are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me?
Stupid.
What is going on? I mean, basically, we're on our way to 4 super conferences.
Ugh.
And, you know, they're going to have 2 divisions in the conference, and everybody that's not in one of the conferences is going to be left out. They're basically not going to be part of it anymore, and that's going to hurt a lot of schools. So even though it was the Big East, you know, San Diego State had to join, I'm glad at least we're part of something. But
come on.
It's
the Big
ridiculous.
East, that's a joke. That's a joke. And they're not really going to be able to compete, I don't think, very well.
Well, you know, now that we're in a bigger conference, we're going to have games on ESPN. We're going to be playing, you know, Big East teams. All of a sudden, we're not in the WAC or we aren't in the Mountain West like we have been in the past, which we're, let's call it like it is. I mean, junior conferences. All of a sudden, it's like, hey, you're in a big conference. I may want to come play with you.
Well,
I mean, you know.
You hit the nail right on the head, though, when you said the TV. You know, that's the whole thing. It's the TV money. You know, they all want a piece of the TV money. So, and they all the teams want to play. They want to be on ESPN. They want most of their games to be on television. That's huge for recruiting.
Yeah, exactly. And would you rather go play in Wyoming or San Diego?
Careful,
come on.
Careful.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hit too close to home there, but just saying, you understand my point.
No, actually, I don't. Let's move on to number 3.
Okay.
I'm going to miss San Diego State, though. They're going to go their asses kicked in the Big East. But I enjoyed having them. And, you know, Wyoming played them. And it was nice. Number 3, Packers win the Super Bowl.
Well, it was amazing seeing as though, like St. Louis, I mean, they barely made their way into the playoffs.
Yep.
And then
number
6 rolled. Yep. Rolled through the playoffs. And obviously, they've proven this year that it was no joke. You know, that's a team. And Jesus, they should have got rid of Favre probably a couple years earlier. I mean, Rodgers is amazing. I mean, he's just so poised, and I think that's a great team. And you know what? Green Bay Packers are legendary. They've been around since the inception of football. You know, winning Super Bowl I.
Right.
And they're owned by the people. And I'm not talking about these fake certificates that they're selling now, but they are seriously owned by the people. And you know, those shares aren't for sale. But if
that's
you want to buy
a storied franchise, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a storied franchise. I mean, Lombardi. I mean, geez.
Sure.
When I think football, I think of that gap tooth ass kicker. I mean,
and Aaron Rodgers. I think he was more popular than Jesus last year in Green Bay.
Well, yeah, just only in Green Bay. Yeah, this year definitely it's Tim Tebow. But you know.
Right. We'll ride that as far as it goes. I don't know. I think that Green Bay is a much tougher team than Denver, even when Tebow's throwing for 300 yards.
What, in a season?
Head-to-head.
You mean against Pittsburgh. Yeah, what was up with that? I think there's some divine intervention going there because...
You would know.
I would know, and I've seen this guy play, and let me see. I mean, this year, his completion percentage before the playoffs was 46.5%.
Right.
I mean... And he had 12 touchdown throws in 14 games. My goodness. Interception 6.
Right.
Not horrible, but this guy, I know high school quarterbacks that could probably have done better. I mean, taking the run out of it, obviously he's a good runner, but he certainly did impress when it came to playoff time. There's something special about this guy.
Absolutely.
And deep down, Father Brian always knew it. You got God on your side,
you can't go wrong. Don't forget our Sports Corner opinion question of the night. Women being play-by-play announcers for football games, especially during the bowl games. Should it happen? Skype at PAPodcast.com. Brings us up to number 2, Father Brian. Number 2, the NFL NBA lockouts. Wah. The millionaires versus the billionaires. Did the fans really, really care about this?
Well, I don't know. The thing is like you said, millionaires versus billionaires, it's never going to go over well with the fans. But I'll tell you what, in the NBA, 72 games is too long of a season. Too many teams and too many players would take games off. And I'm not talking about like just sitting out of a game. I'm talking about I know we're going to make the playoffs, so I'm going to have to play an extra 25 damn games.
They actually
play
82 games, BK.
I'm sorry, 80.
It's insane. That's too many.
It is too many. I like the 66 game season, but the fact that they have to go back to back to back, I would like 66 game season that starts on time. So there's that. And in the NFL, that one just baffled me altogether. They were talking, they're fighting over 51% versus 49% of billions and billions of dollars. Just, get out there and play. I'm very glad that the season kicked off because I cannot do without my football, that's for sure.
Oh, love it.
I mean, I know I said that baseball was America's pastime earlier in this conversation, but in all truth, football is America's pastime. So
absolutely. We're running through the top 10 stories of 2011 as voted on by the members of the Associated Press. We're throwing a little bit of lumps on it and a few wrinkles our way. We're up to number 1. And again, it's something that it did rock the sports world, probably is the top story in sports for 2011. But it's something that nobody really wants to talk about. It's a tragedy. And it's the Penn State scandal that's going on.
I just find it completely disgusting. But you know what? I really don't see this as a sports topic. I mean, this is a criminal topic.
Yes.
And by criminal, I mean throughout the whole thing. And I've always had the utmost respect for Joe Paterno. But for him to say, hey, I told the higher-ups, there were no higher-ups at Penn State than Joe Paterno. The guy that, the athletic director used to be a freaking ball boy for Joe Paterno back in the day. And for him, it just saddens me so much to see such a great man just, I don't know, I mean, what I thought was a great man, let something like, try and cover something like this up. Yeah, but you know what? I really don't want to even talk about it. I think that we should come up with
He looks like he's got bad eyesight. Turns out he's got really, really bad eyesight. So let's just ignore that. I'll throw something in. My top story, and it's kind of local. It's regional to this part of the country, actually. And that was when the Billings, Montana Little League team went to the World Series this year. I thought that was freaking awesome.
Oh, I loved it. I always love it. Yeah.
So I'm going to say that's my number one sports story. That's uplifting. That's people going out there, playing the game the way it was supposed to be, without all the drama, without all the bull crap. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's just in basketball, I love college basketball so much more than pro basketball because, once they get the millions in their pocket, whatever, it's so much more pure, but there's nothing more pure than Little League Baseball. I mean, we've all played it, we've all loved it, and we played it for the love of the game. I mean, and that's what it's just really all about, and money just kind of kills that in a lot of these leagues, all leagues. No, and it's really sad. I mean, there's no just this is my team and I'm going to stay with this team for the rest of my life. I mean, there was Tony Gwynn. There was Cal Ripken. But there's not you don't see too many of them. I mean, when Albert Pujols, I mean, who would have thought that Albert Pujols would have left, you know, St. Louis? I mean,
right.
Well, for a mere $25 million or whatever. I mean, so
no, there's
anyway,
no loyalty.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I thumbs up and clap for Billings, Montana.
Hit me with your best shot, bro. What do you have? Your number one story.
Well, I had to kick this around a little bit, but I was reading the New York Post and there was a full page ad brought out by Dennis Rodman. And basically, he's gotten together with a place called Headquarters Gentlemen Club.
Oh.
And they want to start a topless women's basketball league.
Hey,
and
interesting.
I really think that's an idea that could take off. I mean, it could definitely move up over maybe MMA and hockey as far as one of the top sports, you know, watched in the United States.
Just the jumping alone.
Oh, yeah. Or the dribbling. I mean, there's a lot of aspects to that.
Oh, my
now,
God.
Now, a little quote from Rodman. Said, they will come out in a T-shirt or a tank top. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He said, but when the game starts, they'll go topless. Rodman boasted.
Wow.
So, I mean, to me, I think he's got something there.
Could we put him on rollerblades?
Well, I think we can do that. I'm not sure why that's necessary. I mean,
just a fantasy. Something that I'd like to see.
Okay. Well, you'd have to probably talk to Mr. Rodman about that.
And then when they come out at, you know, when they're, you know, sitting on the sidelines, because only 5 or 10 boobs can play at a time on each team.
Yeah. 10 boobs per team. That's it.
Right. So then when they're sitting on the sideline, they could just be on a trampoline, a mini tramp. They'd have little mini tramps.
Oh, yeah.
And they could just sit there and jump on the trampoline. And then it's their time to go in. They'll run up and down the court, play a little defense, dribble it between their legs, up and down the court, jump a little bit, get a rebound, maybe hug somebody.
Oh, yeah. The hugs after the great shots or something I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're in marketing, if I'm not correct. I think you should definitely get in touch with Mr. Rodman on this.
If I could sell a hug, the world would be a better place, I'm sure.
I would agree with you. Now, what do you think happens in the back rooms of a place called Headquarters Gentlemen's Club?
Yahtzee. A lot of Yahtzee. A lot of pocket Yahtzee.
Well, I'll tell you what, Travis, I thought that was an interesting list, leaving a few of the stories out that really aren't sports stories, but
maybe next year will be better. Maybe next year coaches will keep it in their pants and coach, and we can talk just about sports stories. That would be great.
I would hope so. You know, we don't have to talk about somebody murdering somebody or pedophilia or steroids or all those things that just bring us down. I mean, because sports are there as an escape from all that for
we
us.
Can hope.
I mean,
we can hope. We enjoy to see a tear, but not the way they were doing it in Penn State.
A tear of joy.
Thank you.
A tear of joy.
Thank you.
Yes. A hug in the trophy. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to say go Lakers, go Padres, go Chargers.
Getting all your... Okay, and you have any other shout-outs you'd like to give before we close up the show?
Shout-out to Brian Sontag. Listen, give sports a chance, pal.
Yeah, exactly. Come out of the 80s, please.
Yeah.
We'd love to see you. Tonight's segment, Sports Corner on the PA Podcast. Thanks for joining us.